Back in March of 2009, the president, President Obama, issued a memo on scientific integrity. The reason that happened is for a number of years, particularly during the Bush administration, there were concerns about politics superseding scientific skills and abilities of government employees.
And a lot of this had to do with global warming specifically.
Well, certainly that was a good example of how to one great example was EPA's effort to regulate under the Clean Air Act greenhouse gases. And if you remember, under the requirements, EPA had to do an endangerment finding and a cause or contribute finding for any potential danger to public health and welfare. So they came up with an endangerment finding and cause, sent it to the White House back in 2007, and the Office of Management and Budget simply didn't even open the email. Now, that's vastly different than what happened under the Obama administration, where it moved along very quickly and EPA is moving forward with looking at greenhouse gas regulations. So the issue of manipulation has been longstanding, and under the Bush administration, you had scientists who were prohibited from speaking to the press and to the public about scientific findings. So what Obama's agenda was is to restore trust in science by really three things: strengthening transparency, ensuring science informs policy decisions, and the last was eliminating the interference in science by ensuring that you can't suppress or alter scientific findings.
And I know there was
big agenda.
Yeah, a lot there. I know there was some concern that this was taking a little bit longer than a lot of folks had hoped.
Oh, only about a year and a half.
A little bit longer.
Yeah, no, I think this is a slow-cooking endeavor. The president came out of the box in March of 2009 with his memo that had six principles, and the idea was that the head of the Office of Science and Technology Policy was to make recommendations later in 2009 around how to implement those principles. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and we had to wait till December 17th to get a memo from OSTP that implemented those six principles.
So
that's the good news.
So your assessment of how they did with that extra year and a half is how'd they do on the rule?
Well, there are positives and there are negatives. I think that unfortunately the issue will be, I guess the best you can say is the proof will be in the pudding. And this is a slow baking pudding. But once it's done, hopefully it'll taste really good. What I mean by that is we still have to wait to how the agencies actually implement the OSTP guidance
mm-hmm.
that came out from last week. That means that all eyes really have to be on the agencies. For example, a line in the OSTP guidance to the agencies has both positives and negatives. An example is, can scientists talk to journalists and the public freely? The guidance says, yes, however, it must have, quote, appropriate coordination, unquote, with supervisors in the agency's public affairs office. Well, what the heck does appropriate coordination mean?
Yeah.
And we're now left back to the agencies to help us tell us how that will be implemented.
And how much of this the Bush administration clearly had a different political agenda, and that filtered through agencies, and so they were anti-greenhouse. They didn't believe global warming. They didn't. How much of this is political, and so it does come from the top down?
I think that it is. It's an important statement because it provides in writing what may be the first time ever a framework for strengthening scientific integrity. That's remarkable. It is clearly a change from the Bush administration. But I don't think this is just about politics. I think this is about making encouraging the appropriate role of science in the policy decision making in the agencies. And I think there's some really positives in this new memo. For example, one of the most positive things that I thought was in it was that for federal advisory committees, it clearly states that there can be no interference with the independence of these agencies, of these advisory committees. For example, it says in any report, it prohibits, they call it intra and interagency revision of any advisory committee document. That's powerful and that's useful. The same kind of language does not necessarily apply to scientists who are working within the agency. That's where we have to wait for the agency's policies and how they will implement things to see whether or not scientists really have authority to speak to the public freely.
And again, this is tied to this administration, so another administration comes in, they could change this?
They certainly could. This is just a policy of one administration from another administration. However, my hope is that this is part and parcel of the president's overall theme on transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, when you open the barn door, what happens? Can you ever close that barn door again? I'm hopeful that we have a situation where transparency becomes the kind of modus operandi of our government, and that you can't close that barn door ever again, no matter who comes in. Having said that, I think we all need to be vigilant to ensure that there is strong integrity in the science that is used in policymaking, that there's transparency of that science, including the underlying assumptions, so everyone really understands how decisions are being made in our government. I do think, Chris, there's one other positive aspect, I think, of the memo from last week from OSTP, and it reaffirms the notion that federal scientists have the right to participate in professional and scholarly activities and societies and publications. That was all very unclear, and it makes it very clear. Also, I think we need to acknowledge that when you were talking about politics, the Obama administration has botched science also. You know, this is not unique to any one administration. I'm thinking in the back of my mind the handling of science in the BP oil spill. You know, you had allegations of White House interference with NOAA's estimates. You had a botched communication on its study of where the spilled oil went. You had a misrepresentation of some of the science claiming it was peer-reviewed when it wasn't. So no administration is immune to manipulating science. That's why the action last week is incredibly important and will be even more important is keeping an eye on the agencies on how they implement this.
It almost seems that what becomes really important is how the openness and transparency policies, how they get ferreted into sort of the DNA of the agency. Because if the data is out there, it almost doesn't matter whether people are able to speak around it. The data can speak for itself and people can make their own determinations.
Well, I think that's a very good point. You know, it was true, it was very true under the Bush administration that many of the technical experts in agencies, including scientists, were simply ignored by political appointees. And you want to make sure that that doesn't happen. So I think the notion of appointing people in an administration that are that come with knowledge of science and have integrity is a first step. I think the second is the transparency that you just mentioned to make sure that you've baked in a situation where the public can keep an eye on what is occurring. I also think that transparency calls for disclosing the underlying assumptions, which this recent memo from OSTP calls for. And I think a third is that we need to ensure that the scientists in our agencies have the right to talk to journalists and the public about the work they're doing. We cannot censor our scientists, and if we do, then that suppression is going to have ramifications in the work that all our agencies do. news.
And it becomes very, of course, as that data becomes available, it also becomes, as we saw in the BP oil spill, sometimes the data is changing and different people look at it in different ways, can be almost as confusing sometimes. It's not always easy.
You know, and I think something you just said made me think of what's missing in this latest iteration of the memo, and that is, how will we train our agency people to abide by this?
Yeah.
How do we build in a system where this is carried out in a way that is as robust and aggressive as I hope it occurs?
Hmm.
And how do we see any enforcement? This memo doesn't address training. It doesn't address enforcement. It also doesn't address. Let me back up and say that I think that one of the better initiatives under the Obama administration was the Open Government Directive that had the public interact with agencies on identifying the transparency agendas of each agency. This process says within 120 days, report on progress, but it has nothing in it about how the public will interact with the agencies as they're developing the policies to implement this. It has nothing about where the plans that the agencies have on scientific integrity get posted.
And it seems like this would be, I often point to the sustainability initiative as something that would have been perfect to openly from the start. Agencies file their reports with OMB by posting them online. OMB does its edits, and those are posted online, so you can see what gets changed. Very much a very transparent, very open, and my goodness, sustainability process or a process like this. And we're not talking national security here.
Well, it sure would be nice to have a very open, transparent process that the public could then come back and say, "Look, we understand what government is doing." And when we have that kind of understanding, I think it begins to build trust in our government.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal.
Let me take a half a step back. And outside of this, we've been looking at the big stories of 2010. We're nearing the end of the year. If you had to choose one story that was the big story for 2010, what would it be?
I think that this administration hasn't gotten much credit for its transparency initiatives. And groups like OMB Watch probably contribute to this. We criticize an administration for their lack of transparency wherever we can.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, I think the administration almost got bludgeoned for being transparent. When they put stuff out there, they got beaten over the head over it sometimes.
Well, that's what I was thinking of is, you know, they have put out a lot of information about federal spending, for example. And what happens is the administration's enemies use it to bludgeon the administration.
Yeah.
That's pretty courageous for the president to still believe in this whole transparency initiative, knowing that your enemies are going to use this against you. I think it's a statement that he believes that transparency makes government work better.
And builds that trust.
And builds that trust we were just talking about. And I think that's an unsung story in 2010. Now, I can equally make a lot of criticism about what the administration didn't do in terms of transparency. I would have loved to see a whole heck of a lot more. But I also need to give a hats off to what they have achieved. They're talking about a process of policy change, of technology change, and bringing the government into the 21st century. And they're talking about a cultural change, a way of operating that hopefully will last beyond any one administration. And those things take a lot of time to create change for.
We were talking to Earl Devaney of the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board, and my favorite quote maybe of the year came from him, and he said, if you're easily embarrassed, don't get into openness and transparency, because there is guaranteed to be embarrassment that comes out of this. The question is, does it make government work better? Does it make a government operate better? Does it build that trust between other government agencies, citizens, whatever? And his take is, yeah, it does. And he points to the Recovery Act process.
And I would say that Earl Devaney is an example of the success I'm just talking about.
Yeah. That being said, talk about where you get bludgeoned. You know, USA Today does a front page story about the amount of people who haven't filed their claims, notifications under the Recovery Act. It's 1/100 of 1%, but that never gets mentioned in the story. Again, you can get bludgeoned by being transparent.
Well, I think also what the Recovery Board did is they took transparency to new heights, so that USA Today and other publications can even do the kinds of stories they're now doing.
Right.
And I think that the change that Devaney and team brought will now have a long legacy, because the administration is taking the lessons learned from that and incorporating it in their ongoing annual spending initiatives, not just the Recovery Act.
What do you hope the administration does in this aspect of openness, transparency? What can they do next year that can really help prove this point? WikiLeaks seems to me to have pushed back a little bit and made it more difficult, but what can they do?
Well, I think they have several fronts to move forward on. I think one area is that they need to tie together spending information with performance. It isn't just about who's getting how much money. I think the public wants to know, is the money being used wisely? And until we can start to link different kinds of data, we still will never know whether our government is doing a good job. I would extend that to things like, I want to know, of entities that are getting government money, are they complying with regulations and laws of the land? Are they complying with EEOC, with OSHA, and with EPA rules? Are they complying with other laws? Those are the kinds of things that, in this new world order of transparency, that's the next level up, which is linking really disparate data sets so that you can draw a new kind of picture of what's going on in our government.